I decided I'd speak tonight on hospitality, showing hospitality. It's something that's practical that all of us need to be aware of our duties and responsibilities in that particular area. And the Bible has a great deal to say about it. I wrote an article on it back some years ago that appeared in Searching the Scriptures. I think it was 1979. And I'm just going to glean a few things out of that article for our consideration tonight. Someone defined hospitality as receiving and entertaining strangers and guests in a friendly and generous way. So it's entertaining strangers and guests in a generous and friendly way. And the ISBE made this observation. By ISBE, I mean the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. And the author said, the hospitality of today, by which is meant the entertainment of friends or relatives, hardly comes within the use of the term as denoting a special virtue. It's just natural to have our relatives in our home and our real close friends. But hospitality, according to the Bible, is broader than that. And the Word of God teaches that indeed we have a responsibility to show hospitality. In the book of Romans, in chapter 12, verse 13, Paul said, distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality. And that word given in some translations is practice. Practice hospitality. And the idea here in given or practice is to pursue it, to chase it. I like what R.C.H. Linsky said in his commentary on Romans. He said, like you chase an animal in honey. Hospitality is to be pursued, to run after it. Not just accept it or practice it when it's unavoidable, when it's been thrust upon us. And some of us get caught, you know, having to feed somebody, and we don't want to be embarrassed by telling, no, I'm not wanting to feed you. Or have to keep somebody all night, and we get stuck. Huh? Instead of being something that we enjoy doing and seek after, we just sort of get it thrown upon us and we can't get out of it. We don't know any way to avoid it. But Paul said, given to hospitality, pursue after. In 1 Peter 4, verse 7, using hospitality without grudging. And that means without complaining or without murmuring or secretly wishing that we didn't have to do it. And you know, brethren, to be hospitable is costly at times. And it consumes a great deal of time. And some of us aren't willing to make that kind of sacrifice. And so we just shun it. And I've seen people who were hospitable in practice, but their attitude wasn't right. And they fussed before the person or family came, and they fussed after they left. I may have told this story. It's a humorous joke that's passed back and forth among preachers in particular. But a preacher was invited to a home to eat dinner. And they were sitting around the table, and a little boy, when they first sat down, he looked over at his mama, and he said, Mama, pass me the goat. And she said, son, said, we don't have goats. Why do you think we have goat? Well, he said, you've been saying all day that you're going to have that old goat for supper. And I always thought that that manifested or demonstrated the kind of attitude that Peter sets forth here in 1 Peter 4, 7, when he says, without murmuring. Don't complain about being hospitable. Then in Hebrews 13, verse 2, forget not or neglect not to entertain strangers. For some have entertained angels unawares. And we'll come back to that a little bit later. But here, brethren, there's a responsibility for all of us to be hospitable. Now you can go places to visit a congregation and you'll have several invitations. You don't have to be a preacher to get them either. But you'll get several invitations from members to come and go home with them and have lunch or have dinner, they might call it. And that's being hospitable. If people move into the community, we should ask them the first Sunday they're here if you'd like to go home and have dinner with us. And I don't always do this. I fail in this. And we need to look at ourselves. Are we being as hospitable as we can or should be as Christians? And it'll go a long way in promoting goodwill. Jesus touched on hospitality time and again during his personal ministry. Jesus, in the limited commission, in the 6th chapter of Mark, verses 8 and 10, and I want you to observe that text, if you would, please. He told or talked about his disciples or instructed them to go out, not to the Samaritans or the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in verse 8 of Mark 6, and he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And these apostles and disciples made their home with those of like persuasion. They were cared for, they were fed, they were sheltered. And that's the way it ought to be today, brethren. We ought to be just as generous and kind as these disciples were who kept these traveling preachers in the first century. And then our Lord said in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 42, that a person is not forgotten who gives a cup of cold water in his name to a disciple. And that's not very much. But it's thoughtful. And we don't have to be lavish to be hospitable. One of the joys that I get many times in gospel meetings is somebody says, let's go over here to a restaurant and have a cup of coffee or a piece of pie. That doesn't cost hardly anything. But it's just good to sit there and relax and talk to brethren, get better acquainted and sip the coffee and eat the pie or maybe have a hamburger or something after a service at night. And you know, we all can do that. We can give that cup of cold water, as it were. And then in the 25th chapter of Matthew, Jesus depicts the judgment scene. And he says, among other things, in verse 35, he said, I was a stranger and you took me in. And then they responded, these who were righteous, they responded and said, Lord, when were you a stranger and we took you in? Or when did we clothe you? Or when were you in prison we visited you? Or when were you sick? And Jesus said, inasmuch as you did it to one of these little ones, you did it unto me. And so we can take strangers in. And Jesus says that this is actually practical, everyday Christianity. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and keep oneself unspotted from the world. And that's just one aspect of it. But here's something that we do. And we can be hospitable in life and entertain strangers. We see several examples in the Bible of those who exercised hospitality. Back yonder in the book of Genesis in chapter 18, Abraham was at Mamre. Mamre is close to Hebron. And he was sitting in the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And he looked up and he saw three men, he thought. Actually, they were angels. But he saw three men came. coming. He saw three men coming, and he ran out and met them. In fact, he fell down before them. And he insisted that they come and that he wash their feet, which was an expression of hospitality, by the way. And he asked that food be prepared, and he offered them bread. He asked Herod to bake bread, and he offered them bread and milk and butter, and one of his servants to go kill one of the animals. And brethren, that's costly. Well, he was so excited about entertaining guests, he said, you run out there and kill one of the animals, and we're going to have fresh meat for dinner. That's like we used to when I was growing up in the country. Somebody would come, and my mother would say, my dad, go out there if you would and kill a chicken. Harold knows what I'm talking about. You Kentuckians know what I'm talking about. And that's what we do. And this was just an act of kindness on the part of Abraham. And here he is, these three men, he entertained angels unawares. And in the next chapter, the 19th chapter, here was Lot, who was sitting at the gate of the city of Sodom, and he saw two men, two angels coming, and he insisted that they go into his house and prepared a meal for them. In the New Testament, in the 18th chapter of Acts, verses 2 and 3, when Paul left Athens, he went to Corinth, and he made his abode with Aquila and Priscilla, because they were of the same trade, same occupation. And we read also in the Bible, Romans 16, that these disciples opened their house for the church to meet. And that's not always easy either, brethren. You got to, they come and here they are, and you got to entertain them for a little while and receive them in your house, make arrangements for a place of worship, and then they're there a little while after it's over with. And I'll tell you, that's not an easy task either. But it was a reflection of a good, kind, generous heart. And I'm so grateful to God for people all over this country who are just beneficent, generous, liberal people who have a great big heart, who are willing to give anything they have and to share it, and are happy that you can have a part in it. And that's the way Aquila and Priscilla were. Also here in the 16th chapter of Acts, there are two examples of hospitality. When Paul was at Philippi, he went out to the riverside and he preached the gospel to these women, Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira. And when she was baptized, verse 15, in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Here was a woman who was just persistent. She said, I want you to come and stay with us. And you get down to the last verse in this chapter, and we see Paul, after the conversion of the Philippian jailer, we see Paul going back to the house of Lydia. And brethren, we need more Lydias in the church. And why is it today that in some cases, some places, that it's difficult, hard, it's embarrassing for members of some churches because they can't get enough people to sign their name on a meal chart just once a day to feed a visiting preacher? And we ought to be embarrassed about that. There's no sense under the sun for that happening in any congregation. And we ought to be ashamed, whoever it may be, wherever it is, that you got blank spaces on a meal chart. And I've gone to meetings, and I'm glad they're just few in number. But I've gone to meetings where just about half of it was filled up. And you know what that says? It says one thing, is that we don't really care very much about that preacher. Let him get by the best way he can. Or it says to the family who is keeping the preacher, you go ahead and do the sacrificing. And if this good sister has to double up on the chores, if she has to cook three meals a day and take care of him while he's there, well, that's her problem, but I don't want any part of it. And I want to tell you, brethren, there's something wrong with the attitude of members of the church, disciples of Christ, who will not do their share and shoulder their responsibility with joy, not grudgingly, but with joy, that they can have a part in keeping of the preacher while he proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then here in the same chapter of Acts 16, the Philippian jailer was baptized. And verse 34 says, when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now here was a man who was a heathen. He just came out of it. He was converted to the Lord. And the first thing he did, he fed the preachers. He fed these gospel servants. Someone says, now we just don't have time. We're so busy. Well, they got restaurants. We've heard of them. Huh? We got restaurants. I remember years ago down in Tennessee, there was an old brother there. I believe he's a widower at the time, if my memory serves me correct. But they would take me out breakfast, lunch, and dinner. About every day. And so he wanted to take me out. The only thing was open was breakfast. And so we went out down there and found a place they had this country ham. And so I had country ham. He had country ham. And that night I was kidding, talking to the brethren. I said, I was taken out this morning, brother so-and-so. And I said, I ordered that country ham. You know how expensive that is. And I said, I was sitting there eating, looking across at him. And I said, the tears just flowing down. So we did it in jest, of course. But if we don't have time, take a man to a restaurant or a stranger or whatever. And so that we're really concerned and we care. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. And the apostle declares, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now this good family felt a compulsion. They said, the Bible says, they were addicted to it. To minister unto the saints. And here they're praised by the Holy Spirit for their service in ministering to the saints. Yes, God indeed sees when we give that cup of cold water. God sees when we're concerned and when we're generous and when we are hospitable. And here is the divine record of it. And then in 3 John verses 5 and 6. And here's one that I want to put emphasis on. If you have a Bible open with me, if you would please, the 3 John. 2 John is talking about not showing hospitality to the false teacher. Don't even bid him in your house. Don't keep him, don't lodge him, don't feed him, don't sustain him while he promotes his false doctrine. But in the 3rd epistle of John, the whole epistle, by and large, is talking about hospitality to the gospel preacher, those who proclaim the truth. And here he says, beloved, in verse 5, thou doest faithfully whatsoever. And he's talking to Gaius. And here John's writing to this beloved Gaius. And he says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity or thy love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. And he had them into his house in order that he could have a part in the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of the godly women and godly men of this country in years past and today, because of their interest in the gospel, will make sacrifices so that the true hospitality, so the gospel of our Lord can be proclaimed and furthered. In Acts 2, here were new Christians and new saints. And in verse 46, the Bible says that they ate their meat from house to house. They had one another in their home. They ate their meat from house to house. with gladness and singleness of heart. And we need that same kind of relationship today to bring us together. We need to eat our meat, our food from house to house. We can learn a love and a tie that hell itself cannot break or sever by mingling together and socializing with one another. What am I talking about? I'm talking about hospitality as exemplified in the scriptures. But there are principles that we must develop that promotes this and provokes this and stimulates this. And I'm persuaded, my friend, that the reason some of us in the church don't show any concern about helping and doing what we can in the field or area of hospitality is that we haven't fully developed these principles. And one of those is what I talked about this morning, and that's love. Hospitality is simply a quality of love. You know, we make love so abstract sometimes. And when we read in 1 Corinthians 13 and other places in the Bible, it's just down to earth living, isn't it? Everyday life. Just doing the little things so many times. Just courteous and kind, you see, and considerate and unselfish. And some of us are so selfish that we don't want to share with others. And consequently, we're not hospitable, but we need to develop love. Secondly, as we've already noticed in 3 John, it serves the gospel. And we have an interest in the promotion of the gospel and doing what we can. All of us can't be gospel preachers. Proclaimers in a public way the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we can sustain and aid and help those who do preach the gospel of Christ. And I raise this question. If Jesus were preaching in town, how many of us in the church today would have him in our home? You ever stop to think about that? How many of us would have Jesus in our home? Would we have Jesus in our home? If Paul came to town, would we be one of those who constrained him to come to our house and stay, and we'd show him every bit that we possibly could of goodness and kindness and generosity? We'd make him feel royally, that he was most welcome. And we'd sit there and we'd inquire and we would talk and we'd interrogate and we'd discuss scriptures. And I tell you, one of the most rewarding things in my life is keeping preachers back through the years where we can sit and talk and you can ask them questions. That was especially so when I was a younger preacher. And I remember having Frank Puckett in our home. He was a prince of a man. He'd preach in meetings and we'd sit up and play the old fiddle. He liked that too. He was from Arkansas. And we'd talk about the Bible. The next day we'd talk about the Bible. And we would discuss it. And I'd ask him several questions. And listen, that's a rewarding experience. And I remember James P. Miller being in her home time after time. A great preacher. An unusual, unique character. I remember Foy E. Wallace being with us. And how we go back into times of the church years ago that I wasn't even alive when he was riding the wave, the crest of popularity, one of the great preachers of all time in many ways, and talked to him. We've kept Fred Dennis, and Fred had a lot of stories. C.D. Plum, Brother Plum had a lot of stories. Well, those were unusual, great experiences, and brethren, we're robbing ourselves. The loser is the one who refuses to show hospitality. Then it's a divine gift. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, verse 10. Look at the text. My time is just about come and gone. I said there's going to be a sermonette, so I'm going to have to quit. But in 1 Peter 4 and verses 9 and 10, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. He says it's a gift. As we receive this gift, minister the same one to another as good stewards, as caretakers of the manifold grace of God. And so it's a gift of our Lord to serve in this capacity as well as anything else we have the opportunity to serve in. And then back to Hebrews 13 and verse 2. Hebrews 13 and verse 2, the inspired writer said, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, we don't entertain angels in this day and time. What he's saying, if I understand it correctly, is that as Abraham and Lot entertained angels and were blessed because of it, if we entertain strangers in like manner, we're going to be blessed because of it. And some of the reasons is just what I talked about a few moments ago about keeping the old preachers back through the years. Let's develop hospitality. Let's be people who show it, seek it, pursue it, not wait until it's cast or thrown into our lap and we can't avoid it. And don't come up with this, brethren. It's a lie so many times. When everything is over and it's past and there's no opportunity to be hospitable, well, why didn't you tell me? I would have been glad to keep it. Now come on. Why not before it started? You know, it's like going out to eat and you out-fumble the other fella. Huh? Let me pay for it. He's already got his money out and handed it to the clerk. And then you come up and says, "Let me pay for it." Well, you didn't intend to pay for it to start with. That's your old ploy, you know. If I can just let him get his money out first. And so sometimes we become leeches on others. And the same thing is true with hospitality. Well, I'd been glad to feed him. No, you wouldn't. If you would, you'd put your name down to start with. Don't tell me you'd been glad to feed him or whoever this might be. I'm just being general here now. But you say, "I've been glad to feed him." Well, why didn't you put the name down? You see, after it's already over with, I'd be glad to feed him. I'd been glad to keep him after it was over with. You see, friend, we need to pursue it and seek after it. And then when we do it, don't complain about it. Do it without grudging, because we're helping to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've talked long enough tonight. If you're in the audience, you're not a New Testament Christian, we want you to come and give God your heart. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have, who is willing to pay the penalty for sin on Calvary's cross. And we can't envision what all that entailed. Put yourself, if you possibly can, or put ourselves into his shoes. And know you're going to die. You're going to die to start with. And the way you're going to die, and the most cruel, barbaric method of death in the history of man was crucifixion. Jesus willingly submitted himself to that mob. He went to Calvary. The spikes were driven through his hands and his feet. He was hanging there with the tendons tearing and the blood gushing or coming forth, at least oozing forth. And here he was, suspended between earth and heaven. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God completely left him. During that 3 hours of darkness, when at noontime it was midnight, God forsook Jesus. He felt that separation, because he was paying the penalty for sin. And sin separates. And Jesus became separated from God. And that was one of the most agonizing things that he experienced on Calvary. But too many others don't appreciate it. We look at Calvary as more just a historical cold event. But if we can think on it, and if we talk about it, tears would have to come to our eyes, because we see the supreme sacrifice that Jesus made. Here he made it for us, and we can treat the gospel with impunity, and it can fall on our ears, and it has no bearing at all. It doesn't prick the heart.
But I trust tonight that you're moved and touched, and you'll come to a believing Savior who's able to remit your sins and cleanse your heart. Will you do it tonight? I pray that you will. Will you come? Father, together we stand.